Hi, it's Jeff. Welcome back to this masterclass on Ultimate Days. The concept of this track is three phases and six paradigms. And inside, I'm going to share with you more on the three phases that really led me to build this Ultimate Day system. And the six paradigms are really overarching ideas that I learned along the way that deeply inform everything that we're covering in this masterclass. This track really is an extension of track one. I thought about skipping these topics altogether or integrating them briefly into the previous track, but I decided that I wanted to go deeper on these ideas with you. And as you get into it, some of these might seem esoteric or high level, but I felt that it really mattered to share these ideas with you because they form the foundation of this system for your ultimate days. See, it's not just a matter of managing your time or feeling better every day or thinking more positive or taking your best actions. This really comes down to the heart of how we live our ultimate days, which are the building blocks. The vehicle, if you will, for living our ultimate lives. Because that's the point, right? The system isn't about just having one good day here or there. We have plenty of those. This is about how do we optimize our days as a vehicle for optimizing our lives. If this one day today is a microcosm of your life, and then tomorrow, and the day after, and the day after, and the day after. Having a system to create your ultimate days is ultimately a system you're using for living your ultimate life. In the three phases that I'm going to go through with you, what I discovered was, as I started really deeply getting into these topics, the very basic ideas of time management, being efficient, being effective, even the way you manage your energy, the way you manage your thoughts, daily practices for conditioning your mind, they're very, very powerful. Yet what really matters is the way that you stack them up day after day after day. In doing this, you're not just creating for yourself more ultimate days, but increasing your capabilities. So it's not just about feeling better and thinking better and taking your best actions. It's that the better you get at the way you manage your mind and actions, the more you increase your capabilities for taking on new challenges and achieving more. So you see what I'm saying here is that what we're ultimately talking about is unlocking your potential for what's possible for you in your lifetime by literally unlocking it every day, minute by minute, increasing your capabilities. And so that's why I wanted to lay out these three phases and six paradigms for you, to go deeper into these ideas and into what the real consequences of this system are. Again, these might seem a little esoteric and high level, but hopefully as we get deeper into this, it's going to really resonate with you. This track is organized into the three phases. Phase one was waking up to this. And here we'll talk about what led me to really go deep into these topics and what I learned from this. This was the phase when I really began to understand the depth of the mind and how much our thinking determines the quality of our lives. The two paradigms we hit here are the getting there program and how you feel amazing at will. Phase two, I just called getting good at this. This was the phase when I was really unpacking a lot of these ideas, laying out exercises, and figuring out, well, what really works? What really makes a difference to how you live your days? Here I talk about topics like closing the gaps, nailing the flow state, and the two big paradigms that we cover are focus and simplify. 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 Phase three are the higher level topics. And these ones started to become more apparent to me as I got better at living this Ultimate Day system. I could start to see there was about a lot more than this. Not just time and energy and focus and production, efficiency and effectiveness and whatnot, but the two big paradigms that we'll talk about here, taking back your power and energy, seeing that your days are about time, but ultimately they're about energy. So let's dive in. Phase one, my massive wake-up call. This was my most massive wake-up call in perhaps the last 10 years of my life. It was the most painful phase of my life and the most rewarding. There are so many powerful lessons in this phase for me. And let me give you the executive summary of where we're headed. Here's three ideas. One, I dreamed of doing what I want for years, believing that if only I was doing what I wanted, I would feel amazing every day. And as we'll get to, it's not what I discovered. What I discovered instead was that doing what you want doesn't somehow lead you to feel amazing. Surprise, surprise. And in fact, in a bigger way, that nothing leads you to feel amazing. The cause and effect is wrong. It sounds right to that logical brain that we have, that feeling amazing is not a product of your life, or what you've got, or doing what you want. That you can feel amazing at will based on how you're using the body and mind. And even though this might seem like a bit of a leap, you can prove it to yourself easily. Have a few drinks and don't you notice you feel different? Has your life changed? Do you have a new car? A new lover, a new house? Are you suddenly making more money? No. Simply by changing your neurology, you change your experience of your life. Point two, I was stuck in my work. I dreamed of something that mattered so much to me, but it was too hard. I couldn't get myself doing it. I couldn't write. I couldn't even get myself to sit down and write. In this phase, I learned so much about what holds us back. The fear, the resistance, and more specifically, how much time management and becoming highly skilled at taking actions comes down to how good you are at navigating your mind. Point three, there was a loop that I'd been running, feeling crappy. I believed that if I could get myself feeling good, then I could take the actions I needed to take to drive the results I needed so I could feel good. Do you see that loop? And what I tricked myself into seeing was that, I didn't need to take those actions and drive results to feel good. Instead, you can feel good at will when you understand the mechanics of the body-mind, instead of being trapped by what I call the getting there program. That's a program that runs in the brain that thinks you need to do something, or get somewhere. Because when you get there, then you'll feel a certain way. And we all know it's false. Yet how do you get around it? Okay, so let's go deeper on these topics. Our greatest learnings often come from our pain, right? We often learn our lessons the hard way. And this was most certainly the case for me. This started for me some 10 years ago now, where I'd spent 10 years focused on what do I want? What do I want? Reading self-help books, writing thousands of pages of ideas. I figured it out. I was going to leave Wall Street to write my first book. The research I had done, the changes I had made had been so transformational for me, and I felt so compelled to share that with other people. And it should have been the greatest time in my life, but it was the hardest. It all changed right before I left my job. What I call the chest feeling, or the stomach feeling. It was like, holy fuck, what am I doing? And as I went deeper into this over time, I could see it wasn't just fear. Part of it was that I'd read back through what I'd been writing and realized how crap it was. And it was almost like the enormity of what I was leaving to do was collapsing down on me. And the way I thought about it back then was like Humpty Dumpty falling off his wall, just breaking into a million little pieces. And I didn't know how to put it back together again. I'd never been in that place. I'd never felt that type of fear or anxiety or overwhelm. I'd never been stuck in my work to the point where not only could I not imagine how I would do it, I couldn't even get myself to sit down and do it. It just felt so bad. The worse it got, the more the insecurities built, the worries, the fears. And it was the most awful downward spiral. The same time I met a woman, which didn't go so well, and it blew up a lot of old things that were in the brain as well. And so I spiraled down and down and down and down. Maybe worse, I'd spent 10 years reading self-help books. I was leaving Wall Street to write a self-help book. I thought I was an expert on this stuff. Yet the massive wake-up call was that I had learned a lot, but I still had a lot more to learn. And in particular, I knew a lot. Like a good student, I'd taken a lot of notes and I could talk about it ad nauseam. Yet, had I actually transformed who I was? Had I increased my capabilities to take on a job that was far too hard for me? And there was something much deeper here too. This I perceived to be the greatest gift of my life so far. See, if you'd asked me, during all that time I was reading self-help books, am I happy? I would have said, yeah. I'd never even thought about topics of happiness. I thought it was normal to be frustrated with my job, stressed out, waking up in the morning, hitting snooze, not wanting to go to work, sucking down coffee all day just to keep my head in the game. Yet I still would have said I was happy. What I perceived to be a low bar of happiness that many of us have adapted to. But from this place of real pain, a place I'd never been in my life, like laying at the bottom of the ocean and looking up, I could see my old definition of happiness was the waterline. Yet there was a whole level beyond that that I could now perceive. Not just to get back to where I'd been, but to go higher and higher and higher and higher. Except back then, I had no clue how to do it. It was from this place, this pit of shit, that I started to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. I had this thing that mattered so much to me that not for a moment did I think about not doing it. It was a given that I had to write the book, that I had to go through this phase, and I just needed to figure out how to get myself to do it. It was also here that I saw through a lot of the BS of the self-help world. Stuff like starting with the why. Why? You just got to tap into your why. It can be motivating, but it can also lead to massive amounts of overwhelm. Or get yourself motivated. You just got to get motivated. It all sounds good to people who are motivated. But I'd always been motivated my entire life. I'd never procrastinated. I'd never been stuck. Never had resistance. And what I perceived at this point was you need a far more disciplined approach. Also, I thought I got all the time management stuff. But what I could see is that I only had a very basic understanding of it. Efficiency, effectiveness, organization and whatnot. But the deeper version of time management is to understand that time management is an emotional topic. If you've never done anything backbreakingly hard, it might seem like it's about efficiency and getting things done. But when you're doing something that is so hard for you, it's navigating the emotions, navigating the resistance, building highly disciplined, rigorous approaches to get yourself to do things that you're unable to do. See, one thing that surprises people, having come from Wall Street, is that I didn't have a lot of this stuff figured out. But the truth is, even in the hardest jobs I had done, it only required a very rudimentary level of this. If you're motivated and focused and able to get stuff done, you succeed in most structured environments. But when you're taking on a job that is far too hard for you, that's breaking your mind, that has massive amounts of uncertainty, what I learned is that you need a much more rigorous approach. Searching for that approach, I went back through my thousands of pages of notes that I'd written from the books that I'd read, extracting out not just ideas, but specifically, how do you train yourself to do it? And it was this time that led me deep into the mind. Traveling the world, training with the best change workers, learning the best tools of reprogramming the mind, going deep into how you think and feel, and learning to navigate the mind. And even then, what I began to see was that they are very powerful tools, very powerful approaches. Yet, if you're doing something truly hard, you need more than just a couple changes here and there. That what you need to do is build a highly systematic approach to conditioning yourself every day to do harder and harder things. And over years, I started to get a sense for how to do this. Hours a day of meditation and hypnosis, deep conditioning the mind, building tools that enabled me to get focused, some of which you're going to learn in this program. I could see that I needed something even more, not just daily exercises that I would do every day to keep getting better and better, but continuous tools, a rigorous approach, a highly structured approach to all day, every day, conditioning your mind and actions. See, what we're talking about here is really the extreme of any habit change, which is reconditioning yourself. Think about someone who's out of shape and deciding that they want to start going to the gym. Motivation doesn't get it done, does it? It's not powerful enough. No matter how much motivation they build up, they need something more. Structure. A disciplined approach. So they decide that you want to go to the gym. You decide that you're going to show up and persist. You decide that you're going to keep doing it until you build that motivation. You build that new habit. So it's that structure and discipline that enables you to take it to a new level. The same is true of writers. In doing this, I learned a lot about these crafts. The craft of writing, for some people, might be really easy, but for many writers, is very, very hard. There's all sorts of phrases like writers write, and if you write when you feel like it, you'll never write. Stephen Pressfield's book, The War of Art, is so powerful for creators because he talks about this notion of resistance and what it takes to move through, which is ultimately structure and discipline. So rather than seeing it as a book you need to write, see it as 3 hours of writing or 5 pages. And it was ideas like this and years of mental conditioning that enabled me to see it at an even deeper level, to see that it wasn't just about having a structure to your day or a schedule, or being able to integrate tools of mental conditioning with approaches to time management and getting things done, but to have an end-to-end system. This system for your ultimate days, from the moment you wake up till you go to bed at night? How do you organize your days for optimizing your mind and actions each and every day? And it was through this phase, this greatest wake-up call for me, that I took the greatest leap that I've ever had in my life. Not just in terms of my capabilities and my happiness that skyrocketed relative to where it had ever been, but in my deeper understanding of the mind and understanding of our lives. And that's where these two big paradigms came from. The getting there program and feeling amazing at will. So let's talk about these now. So what is the getting there program? Well, let's break it down. One, getting there meaning that in our brains, we think that something needs to happen to change how we feel. When I get that house, when I get that new job, when I get married, when I make my money, whatever it is, because the left hemisphere of our brains is a linear processor, meaning it operates in a time-based reality. It works on logic or cause and effect. It thinks all this happens sequentially. That's the first part. The second part is, why do I call it a program? Because of the way I just described it to you. I perceive that way the brain operates to be just like a computer. It's just an instruction set. If I get that house, feel good. If I get that job, feel good. And what's implied in this is that it lives in a place of lack. That without that job, or without that house, or without being married, that's its excuse for not feeling how it wants to feel. So now we're getting to the core of what's going on in that brain, that it's stuck in lack. And because of the way that our bodies and minds are set up, the job of that brain is to believe that if only something would change, then it would feel how it wants to feel. Yet, that linear processor that is our brain is operating on a different channel to our feelings, so they're disconnected. And the best that brain can do is rationalize what would change our feelings. And without going into too much depth on this, it has no clue why we feel the way we do, let alone what will change our feelings. Think about those days you wake up on the wrong side of the bed. What's that about? Is your life worse? Did something bad happen? Or did something just change in the body-mind machine that you're experiencing it feeling different? This is the reality of our lives. The energetic body feels a certain way. That brain processes a reason for it, and then believes it needs to somehow change that in order to change how we feel. Think of a very basic notion of cause and effect. Why do you feel so happy today? Notice that in our society, it's implied that you need a reason. Why? And then you're forced to make up a reason. Well, I'm just feeling good. Oh, something good happened to me. And as long as we live in that getting there program, we're constantly at the whim of that brain. And how we think and feel is conditioned on the objects around us, meaning things, and the things that are happening in our lives, and it's wrong. And the best way to prove it to yourself is exactly the example I gave earlier. It's the most simple. You can be feeling so-so, call it you're feeling a 7 out of 10, and then you have a couple drinks. Now how are you feeling? Why do we drink? Because on a whim we prove to ourselves that by changing our neurology, we change how we feel. Has your life gotten any better? Did your job change? Did you get a new lover, boat, car, house, whatever? No, nothing changed. But in changing your neurology, your entire life experience changes. So why on earth would that brain think we need to change our lives to feel a certain way? Why would it think you need a new iPhone to feel good? Or, oh, when you get that promotion, then you'll feel good. Or if you don't get it, now you've got justification for not feeling good. Or if you don't have that iPhone, oh, someone's got a better iPhone than you. That's why you feel worse. And you see the point that I'm trying to make on this Getting There program is that it's so implied in our thinking that what happens in our life causes how we feel, that our lives are literally oriented around it. And it's wrong. The only thing that leads to how we feel is us. What we're talking about here is the absolute core of human happiness, of fulfillment. See, this is why when people say, well, that person's got all that money and all that fame and all that success, why aren't they happy? See, it's implied that when you've got those things, you're automatically happy, and it's wrong. And where did I see this in my own life? When I'm doing what I want, then I feel amazing every day. Then I was doing what I wanted. Then the story in the brain became, well, once I built this business, then I'll feel amazing every day. Once I write my book, then I'll feel amazing every day. And it's a lie. It's wrong. Because we can choose how we feel right now. A client said to me the other day, now we've spent a few months on these topics, that she really gets it. That she's retired. She's got all the money that you could want. She's got a lot of success and prominence, yet she didn't feel how she wanted to feel. So in her brain, it was that she needed to find those things to fill her time so she could feel how she wants to feel. That old Getting There program tricking her to believe there's just something else she needs to do. It wasn't enough that she worked her butt off in building an amazing career, built a lot of wealth, a lot of success. Now she needed to fill her time to feel how she wanted to feel. And what she said to me the other day was that now she wants to fill her time because she wants to fill her time. She's already feeling amazing. And filling her time is just about scheduling, being engaged more in meaningful things. But that having spent some time on this together, she's learned to train herself to feel how she wants to feel. And to see that Getting There program is wrong. That there's nothing that needs to happen. There's nothing you need to get in order to feel how you want to feel. Case in point is Viktor Frankl and his book Man's Search for Meaning. Even in the Nazi concentration camps, you can choose your thoughts. You can choose how you feel. You don't need to get out of a Nazi concentration camp to feel how you want to feel. And you don't need to get anything else in your life to change. Because you can choose this right now. You also see that the Getting There program is the core of this problem about the journey and the destination. Again, we have so many useless platitudes in our society. Oh, it's not about the destination. It's about the journey. Okay, well, how many people live that way? Really, you hear people say this stuff all the time, and you can ask them, well, what specifically are you doing to live this way? Because the Getting There program is really hard to overcome. By definition, the Getting There program is all about the destination. And so how do you keep overcoming this program to live the journey? It might seem complicated, but in fact, it's actually very easy. And it's the core of what we're spending time on in this ultimate day system. You become hyper-focused on your day right now. Instead of looking for tomorrow or the next day or getting something or getting somewhere to fill you up, you hone in on what fills you up today. You use your body in ways that feel good. You use your mind in ways that think good. You absorb yourself so deeply in what you're doing that you're literally just absorbed in the journey. See, this too is the core of a lot of the Eastern teachings around being present. Or, say, the difference between doing and being. See, they all sound like really good teachings. But how do you use them? It's like one of those things you write down, yeah. You're not a human doing. You're a human being. Someone says it with their nice little uniform on and it sounds intelligent. Now go and try and live it. What does it actually mean? How do you live it? And the answer, as we keep going deeper into this program, is that you're living in the flow state. You're living in the journey. Not in theory. Not because you learned some nice little platitude, but because you baked it into your day. Literally, the system for your ultimate day is baking flow into your day. So all day, every day, you're just immersed in what you're doing. Beyond that thinking mind, out of the realm of their getting their program, living flow to flow, fully immersed in your day. The getting their program also leads us neatly into paradigm two, feeling amazing at will. See, when I talk about this with people, it sounds like some pie in the sky idea. But having come out of the getting their program, can't you see how easily you can now get here? If we come back to the example of having a drink, doesn't a drink change how you feel at will? Literally, you have a drink and you change how you feel. We all know this. Yet what's the deeper learning? That nothing in our lives needs to change for us to change how we feel. That the way we feel isn't about our lives. It's certainly not about what we have or what we get. And despite most of the research on happiness, it's just flat out wrong because it falls for the getting there program. It's about cause and effect. If you're married, if you've got a job, a sense of community, you're likely to be happier. Well, that all sounds good. But then why isn't everyone with a job happy? Or everyone who's married? Why isn't everyone with a Ferrari happy? Because what we have and what we get and what we do doesn't lead to how we feel. And that's why we can feel amazing at will when we learn how to use the body and mind to feel amazing at will. It's not about the opioid addictions or the drug addictions or the alcohol addictions or any other habits that we have for changing how we feel. When you become highly skilled at this, at will, literally, you change how you feel. And that's what I'm really talking about here, which is how do you feel amazing at will? Easy. When you see it comes down to how you're using the body and mind. So how do you feel amazing at will? I'm not going to go into detail here. And even the Ultimate Day system, I'm sharing with you some tools. But ultimately, it's really simple. I have a more sophisticated tool I'm not going to share in this program called the Limitless Three-Step. Yet what matters here is that there's only three steps to feeling amazing at will. Step one, lead with the physical. Step two, change your thoughts. Step three, get in the flow. Beyond that thinking mind. Do you know, there's tons of research that says if you just smile, you feel happier. Why? Because the cause and effect is wrong. Right, that brain thinks that when something good is happening, it feels good and it smiles. But the cause and effect works the other way. It feels good because it smiles. Literally. Just smiling changes how you feel at will. Now we know this, but how many of us have built a practice out of doing it? The bigger picture here is an idea I call leading with the physical. Leading with the physical says it's not that brain or that thing that leads you to feel amazing. jump up and down and feel amazing. Listen to a song like Celebrate from Kool & the Gang and celebrate. Celebrate like you just won a gold medal. Celebrate like a soccer player just having kicked a goal. See, and this is where that brain screws us again. It says, but I didn't kick a goal. I didn't win a gold medal. Because it believes you can only celebrate and jump up and down and feel amazing when some cause and effect happens, and it's wrong. So the trick here to feeling amazing at will is to learn to use your body to feel amazing at will. One way that I'm able to very, very quickly transform how people feel is finding what their body automatically does when they're feeling great. One of my clients, her trigger is awesome. See, I just saw this from asking her questions. All right, when things are going great, how do you feel? Awesome. Her hands go up. She waves them a little bit to the side. So what did I say to her? Do that all the time. Well, but what if it's not awesome? Practice the feeling in the body and you'll feel more awesome. And then you know what happens? More awesome things start to happen in your life because you're feeling more awesome. And it becomes a very upward spiral. All because you're learning how to feel amazing at will. The second step in the Limitless Three Step is now you change your thoughts. See, this is a lesson I learned the very, 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 very hard way, which is for years I worked on tools of mental reprogramming, and they're very powerful tools. Yet what I discovered is that they are far more powerful tools once you've led with the physical. Look, this is something that I'm not sure why we don't understand it better, but it's that how we think is a derivative of how we feel. When you're feeling on top of the world, feeling absolutely amazing, try having a crap thought. When you've got a big smile on your face, try bringing yourself down. Yet, go the other way. When you're in a crappy place, try using that brain to get yourself into a good place, and it's very, very hard. Yet, if you lead with the physical first, you get yourself jumping up and down, you change your energy, you raise your vibration, you elevate your frequency. However you think of it, now it's much easier to change your thoughts. And this is step two. So imagine playing around with these two things to feel amazing at will. Get yourself bouncing around, change your thoughts. And the third step in the Limitless Three Step is get in the flow. This is where you get beyond that thinking mind. You're no longer thinking about anything. Not even paying attention to how you feel. You're just so fully immersed in what you're doing that you're in this peak state for human happiness and human performance. See, and the reason we're not going deep into these ideas, but I wanted to share these paradigms with you, is because they are baked into the Ultimate Day system. They're baked into the system for unleashing your time. It's not about the theory of all this stuff. It's about how specifically do you engineer your days so you can live it every day. It literally took me years of my life and tens of thousands of hours of work on these topics to figure this out. And it is really simple, but most importantly, it's how you do it. And a very simple tool or way to think about this is included in the workbook called the Magical Triangle. You'll see at the top thoughts, in the bottom right feelings, in the bottom left, actions. And the whole notion being your thoughts lead to your feelings lead to your actions. And when you can indoctrinate this idea, you can start at any corner of the magical triangle and see, oh, all you need to do is change your actions. And you change your thoughts and change your feelings. Or change how you feel. That'll change your actions. That'll change your thoughts. Or change how you think. And what your feelings change and your actions change. And just in becoming facile with this type of simple tool and indoctrinating these paradigms, It's so easy for you to get beyond the getting there program and feel amazing at will. And this is why I wanted to share these paradigms with you, as well as what led me to these learnings in phase one. All right, now let's talk about phase two. Phase two I call getting good at it. And this was a phase that basically happened over 7 to 8 years, where I was researching these ideas, coming across a lot of new ways of thinking, new ways of getting stuff done, building probably hundreds of tools, certainly writing thousands of pages of ideas, recording thousands of recordings, really doing everything I could to get good at this. And I just simply can't convey enough how much I put into this. As I said earlier, the obvious thing to do would have been to back off my goals, to say the goals are too hard. You know, I need to reduce the goals or give up on them or not go after them as hard. Yet all I know how to do was go after them harder. As they say, when the going gets tough, get tougher. And all I knew how to do was get tougher, get harder, get better. See, it wasn't an option for me to give up more hours. I already work at this 7 days a week, basically from the minute I wake up until the minute I go to sleep. And over this period of time when I was researching these ideas, all I was focused on is, how do I get better? And while I was getting good at it, these two big paradigms kept on coming back to me. And they sound very simple because they are. Yet, getting good at actually doing them might be such a hard task for many of us that we'll never take it on. And for me, it's a continuous practice. That's focus and simplify. It wasn't like these two paradigms came at the end of my process either. All this was happening concurrently. From when I started this work, when Humpty Dumpty had fallen off the wall and I was scrambling to figure out how do I do this, I was researching tools, practicing the exercises I had, and over time training the mind and building more and more tools, I kept getting better at this. Yet where this really did begin was these paradigms. I knew I needed to get more focused. If I was struggling to work, it meant that I needed to figure out how to take my time and put it into what really mattered. Even if it was hard, how do you focus when it's hard? Because that's when it really counts. And simplify was a given for me. In many ways over this 10-year period, I've massively simplified my life. Part of that was because of necessity. I needed to keep figuring out how to drive more time into getting good at my goals. And so by necessity, I cut things out. But mostly it was about desire. I had things that deeply mattered to me. And so the things that mattered a lot less were very easy to discard. Whether that be people who didn't make my life better, or uses of time like news and TV where I got rid of my TV, dinners, parties, other things that I didn't perceive to be a high value use of my time, I simplified and discarded. It was also this theme that led me to leave LA and move to Vail, Colorado. Not just to change it up and ski for the season, but to go somewhere where I could be entirely focused on this stuff, where I didn't know anyone, where I didn't have social obligations, where I had a lot less distraction, so I could ski and train my mind while I skied and work. And that was one of the most transformational steps for me and helped me even more so focus and simplify, because many of the things that I learned from my seasons in Vail, the things that I gave up and could do without, I never picked up again, including alcohol, including a lot of entertainment. When I moved back to New York from Vail, I had a lot less social life than I'd had before that. It just didn't matter to me in the same ways. and I needed to keep putting my time into getting good at this. It took me years to even consistently write publicly. Not just because of my writing, but fears, insecurities. It took me 5 years to write that first book, and even after I did, it took me another couple years before I was even really willing to put it out there. And it took me years of conditioning my mind to really get it to the place that I wanted to get it to. Over this time, I built tools and skills that fundamentally transformed my life. Like the House of Flow that we'll come to in this program, where I brought together a lot of things that made sense in order to be able to stop thinking, hone in on what really matters, get beyond resistance and just absorb. And over years, I kept training the flow state. Another paradigm we'll talk about later is the 80-20 mind and actions. And really focusing on what does it take to do something incredibly hard, to condition your mind, to take your best actions. I went beyond the notion of the Pareto principle that 20% of your actions drive 20% of your results, if you will, to see that it came back to the mind as well. That 20% of your thoughts drive 80% of the value of your thinking, and the same with your actions. So how do you keep honing this? Not just to know this, but to keep honing your mind and actions for driving what truly matters to you every day. And it was through continuing to hone my skill at doing this, which even today I'm doing, that led me to this notion of ultimate days, to building the system for ultimate days, to my most powerful tool, the Limitless Three-Step, where I've sought to take the best that I've learned and fully integrate it so it's easier for you to do every day. It is an understatement to say that this phase transformed my life, making me happier than I even knew was possible, more focused, more productive than I could have possibly imagined. I'd worked 100-hour weeks for most of my life before that, yet now working 100-hour weeks, maybe I get done 10 times the amount, because I've sought to batten down all the hatches, close all the gaps, tighten all the screws, and every other metaphor that I use for honing in on your mind and actions that truly create for you your ultimate days. And I've already talked about the two paradigms that came out of this phase, focus and simplify, simplify, simplify. So let's now go a little deeper into those. Focus. I don't even know how to talk about this topic with people. Our society thinks it's a disease. Now, I'm not saying there aren't some kids out there who have this so-called ADHD that should be put on speed. But I will say, why don't you test those kids in how they are playing video games? Focus is a highly misunderstood topic in our society and a highly undertrained skill. So we all know how much it matters, yet how good are we at actually doing it? As I said earlier, it's hardly like focus is a problem just for our kids. Where do they learn it from? Many adults are no good at focus either, and it's not our fault. Look at the world we live in, it makes it near impossible to be focused. Yet, it is our responsibility to learn the skill. Focus is really two things. How many hours can you put into what matters? Said differently, it's prioritization. Second, when you're in your priorities, how focused are you on driving your best process and results? Think of it like Tom Brady on the gridiron. As a fan, how would you feel if he was only kind of focused while he was out there? Standing out in the middle of the field, checking his email, looking around, daydreaming for a little bit. We never expect that out of someone who we want to see top performance. Yet, how many of our days are this way? How many minutes, hours a day are we focused versus drifting? Checking our email, drifting online, our minds drifting to all and every other topic. And focus is a skill that's not easy to train, yet it's completely within our control. If only we're willing to put away the devices, to stop those things that get in the way of our focus, and to choose to become absorbed in what we're doing. As we get deeper into this program, we talk about some tools for focus, like the heightened state of awareness and the house of flow, which is all about stopping all these other things, becoming fully immersed in what you're doing. Yet no matter what tool, focus all begins with a choice, that you choose to focus. You'll see in the system for unleashing your time ideas like shut down your email, stop web surfing. I can't believe people have all these notifications on their phones. So when someone posts a picture of their meal on Facebook, they get a notification of it. Focus ultimately comes down to our choice and our ability to become highly skilled at the way we focus our time by focusing our minds. And of course, I already knew all of this. Yet it was in this phase of getting good at this stuff that I was forced to really exercise the focus muscle, to identify and build powerful tools like the ones we're going to go through, and also to train myself to do them every day. And you see, this is what is baked in to the Ultimate Day system. Because end to end, you're focusing your time on what truly matters, getting beyond that thinking mind, getting beyond those feelings that hold us back from focus, distraction, boredom, resistance, avoidance, escaping, to become highly focused on what matters in living our ultimate days. Now let's talk the second paradigm that I've been jokingly calling simplify, 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 as in Thoreau's quote. But this notion here is no joke. How do you simplify your life around what truly matters to you? As I talked about earlier, I needed to do this. I was doing harder things than I'd ever imagined. My mind was also a mess. I had lifetimes of work that I wanted to get done. And so I really needed to simplify my life around what mattered. But it also went deeper than this. As I began simplifying my life, cutting out people, cutting out things, what I began to see was how much better my life got. Like the news. See, before this phase, when I was on Wall Street, I was all over the news every day. I didn't realize my fear of where's the world headed, worried about this or that, constantly thinking and talking about the noise of the world. I had no idea how much it dragged me into the sewer. TV. I hadn't watched a lot of TV for years before that either, but now I completely cut it out. To the point where some time ago I got rid of my TV. And again, I just can't tell you, and you hear it on my face, how much better this has made my life. What is on the TV that makes your life better? How many people lie on their deathbed regretting that they didn't watch more TV? Social media, oh, fortunately I never got sucked into that junk. But anyone looking to simplify, that's one of the first things to cut out. If the news is noise, social media is noise on noise, people spewing their opinions on noise. Simplifying my life also went a lot further. I stopped a lot of social stuff. Dinners that I really hadn't been enjoying anyway, I just found them mundane. I had more important things to do parties I've been skipping for years, bars I stopped drinking, sports I never watched sports anyway. And so my life became very simplified around what truly matters to me. Now, as I said earlier, I never promote my lifestyle. In many ways, it is not for other people. What I'm about is creating the life that you truly want. So my version of simplify can be very different for you. So what is that for you? What truly matters to you? If you were to simplify your life, what are some of those things you'd get rid of? And what you're hearing from me is a very basic rule on simplify too, aren't you? Delete. Just delete those things from your life that make your life worse or distract you from the things that truly matter to you. And even though it might seem complicated, actually it's very, very simple. Delete. Just stop doing them. Stop participating in it. Stop letting them steal your energy and your time. And simplify your life around what truly matters to you. Once again, here I would say, all that sounds good. We all know the Thoreau quote, simplify, simplify, simplify. But again, this is what the Ultimate Day System is built to do. Not to know this stuff in theory, I knew this stuff in theory, but to give you a systematic way of doing it every day. So you don't have to think simplify, simplify, simplify. It either fits into your ultimate day or it doesn't. And that's why I'm sharing with you these phases, to give you a sense as to why I built it this way. How these phases fundamentally changed me. How the paradigm shifted the way I thought on these big topics, and how I've baked it into this system for your ultimate days. Phase 3, I call higher level learnings. And that's what this phase was about for me. As I said at the start of phase 2, much of this was happening in concert. As I was stepping back and discovering a lot of these tools, and over the years I was honing in on getting good at them, it was like these high-level learnings began to reveal themselves to me. And when I talk about the two paradigms here, which is the first is taking back your power, and the second is energy, they sound like very basic concepts, and in many ways they are, yet they gave me a new way of really looking at these topics. To get beyond certainly seeing it as focus and efficiency and getting really badass with my time in phase 2, to here really seeing it deeper, to the very definition of how we process reality and think about the way that we use our time in our lives, how we make these choices, and what these choices mean at a deeper level. A way of framing it is to say that coming from the point where it was really hard to me, to in phase 2 really honing in on topics like focus and simplify, they transformed me to the point where I just perceive these topics differently. And even though my mind and actions were better than ever, it was really in this third phase that opened up my most hardcore mental conditioning. So in the first phase, that was just painful and hard. I was desperately seeking new tools, meditation, hypnosis, hours a day conditioning the mind, trying to figure out what I now think of as the basics, like the Getting There program, like Feeling Amazing at Will, the Magical Triangle. These topics that are so elusive in our society, it was so hard for me to discover, became obvious to me. Yet as I conditioned the mind over 6, 7, 8 years and became more skilled at this, I also got more hardcore in my conditioning, to the point where today, and this might sound absolutely nuts, I'm conditioning the mind 6 to 8 hours a day. And see, one of the massive differences for me is that I approach it totally differently now. When I was first discovering these tools and getting deep into reprogramming and mental conditioning, it was more like blocks of time where I would sit back and do meditation or hypnosis. Whereas today, it's baked into my day. And as we get deeper into the Ultimate Day system, you see that the entire system is designed to mentally condition all day, every day. So that, as we'll talk about in the system for unleashing your time, you're working in blocks of time. And then between those blocks of focus, you're stepping back and resetting the mind. A tool that I walk through I call the Restore Cycle. This is a way of getting yourself elevated and energized, focused, in the flow, and then popping out and restoring the mind before doing it over and over again. And the way that I'm laying this up for you in this program isn't as dramatic as the way that I use it, because it's laid out in 2 hour blocks, whereas I tend to work in 33 minute blocks and then take time between each block for conditioning the mind. So if you were to look at the way that I organize my day, it's constantly seeking to be in the flow of the 80-20 mind and actions. Conditioning the mind to diving into actions, popping back out, conditioning the mind, diving back into actions. And this is also the notion I've talked about of continuous tools, which is not just using these tools daily or weekly or periodically, but developing tools for the mind that you use continuously, ATFT, all the fucking time. And so this phase three for me, even though it's been an evolutionary phase, has gotten more hardcore, more disciplined, more regimented, which is part of what led me to build the Ultimate Day system and keep battening the hatches, tightening the screws, closing all the gaps to how you see it today. So let's talk about these two paradigms that came out of this phase. Owning your power and energy. The notion of owning your power, in some ways, is really obvious and in other ways is very subtle. See, what we're talking about here is taking back control of our days. How many of us feel in control of our days? Do we wake up feeling in control? Or do we feel like that we work for that little device? That we're responding to some email? That people are sending us texts we're responding to? We're checking the news or the grotesque social media feeds, and that's dictating how we think and feel. How many of us feel like we're in control of our energy? Do we wake up feeling energized? Throughout the day, are we energized? We're using coffee and other stimulants to give us energy. How many of us feel in control of our time? Like we can put it where we choose to put it. We can focus ourselves when we're there. What about our minds? So that thinking mind robs us of all of our power. See, some of you know that it's just an automatic machine, cycling some 70,000 thoughts a day, mostly negative, mostly redundant. Yet, how good are we at taking back our power? See, and I want to make an extreme comment here, but those of you who know the mind know this to be true. That mind is just as automatic as your stomach is digesting food. Do you think you're in control of that stomach digesting food? Do you think you could stop it from digesting? The thinking mind works exactly the same. It's a machine that seems to be operating in your head, and its job is to cycle mostly shit thoughts, mostly redundant shit thoughts, every single day. So how do you take back your power? What about the body? How many of our bodies feel how we want them to feel? We're at the whim of how the body feels? Or are we highly skilled at where we put the body and where we put the mind? Same with our time. Same with our focus. So you see what I'm talking about here at a deeper level is something that's subtle and implied all the way through. That your ultimate days are about taking back control of your day. From the moment you wake up and open your eyes, you get to choose. How do you want to feel? How do you want to think? How do you want to get yourself taking actions? All those devices that make you feel worse, you get to choose whether you put them away. Take back your power. That drifting mind that's stuck in our drifting world of distractions and junk, TV, manipulators like designers of Facebook that give you a little dopamine hit for showing up. All the distraction in the world. Blaming the world. Putting our kids on ADHD drugs, jacking them up on speed. Taking all their power of focus away and giving it to the drug. Instead of giving them their power and training their minds to focus. So you see, on these higher level topics, what we're talking about is taking back your power. For living your ultimate days. Living your ultimate life. And it's even more than this. See, it's when you get better at managing your mind and managing your actions that you're becoming more capable. The things that weren't possible for you, you're now more capable of actually doing. So taking back your power is about unlocking your potential. Literally, putting to work this system for your ultimate days, you're becoming a more powerful person every day. Someone who's capable of taking ownership of your day, of your potential, and what's possible in your life. The second paradigm is energy. And like the paradigm on taking back your power, it's something that we've been talking about all along, but it's also pretty subtle. Is this really about time, or is it about energy? What is that feeling in the body? Are they feelings, sensations, or is it energy? When you wake up in the morning and the body's been in slumber, is that how it feels? Or is it just running a low amount of energy? We are bioelectrical machines. We operate on energy. Our entire day can be looked at as a cycle in which we build energy and deplete it. And then we go to bed at night and we restore it. So this restore cycle that I'm going to talk about later as well, not only applies to the tasks during the day, but it applies to your entire day as well. How do you fuel the body? How do you use the energy? And so even when we think about time, at a basic level of time management, we're really talking about energy management, aren't we? We talk about doing those tasks in the morning that require more creativity, for instance, when our energy is higher. We know that after lunch, if you eat a heavy meal, your energy is going to be more depleted. And at a higher level, we can see this is all about energy. When you die, that life force energy leaves your body. Where does it go? What is that energy? What are we? But beings that build and utilize energy throughout our lifetime. And so what does it mean to see your ultimate day through a lens of energy? To see everything that you do as a way to either build or deplete energy. The thinking mind, burning energy. Exercise, burning energy, but giving you energy. Your uses of time, your focuses, your priorities, burning energy. Are they good burning of energy? Who are the people that steal your energy, that vampire energy? And those who help build your energy. And so you can look at it through the lens of energy. And then if you go even higher to a higher level of reality construction, which I won't go to in this program, this entire game is about energy. What is consciousness? What is the truth of our energetic nature? What does it mean to journey beyond the physical into our energetic reality? What is universal energy, spiritual energy? These are the sorts of ideas that I toy around with in this tool I call the ultimate solution that I'm not sharing with you, where I'm building tools to test reality, to understand the limits, if any. Is it limitless, our ability to mold energy? And so, I share some of these weirder topics with you at the higher level to say, in this phase three, as I went deeper and I went higher, these different levels got revealed to me. Yet, beyond the theory of all this, it's still all just baked into the ultimate day system. So, I need to be thinking about this and what does it mean and what could it possibly mean? It's that we're optimizing our days around time, around energy, around taking back your power. And so what you see at these three phases and six paradigms is that at a very basic level, I was figuring out, well, how do you get yourself to do those things that matter to you? How do you feel how you want every day? And I came across these paradigms of the getting there program and feeling amazing at will. Then in phase two, as I kept getting better at this, I could see it actually went a lot deeper. Even though we throw around ideas like focus and simplify, I was developing ways to actually bake it into your day. And then in phase three, it went to a whole different level altogether. A higher level, where I'd done most of the hard work, but the conditioning got more serious, more regimented, and these higher level ideas of taking back your power and recognizing this is energy became more apparent to me. Yet, as I've said a number of times, these phases and paradigms might be interesting ideas. And there are people in the world who like to talk about interesting ideas. It's not my method. My method is how do you take these ideas and bake them into your day? And this is where I got to this ultimate day system that we're going to be diving into next. As we go deeper into how specifically do you build your ultimate day? From the moment that you open your eyes in the AM till you close them at night. How do you live your most amazing day? Feeling your most amazing. Thinking your most amazing. Taking your best actions. Now, we've come to the end of this track. And as we finish up, I just want to leave you with one exercise, which is to go into the workbook and just fill in some details around these topics. Whatever makes sense to you. Whatever you really learn through what we've talked about here. In phase one and the two paradigms, phase two and the two paradigms, phase three and the two paradigms, and just note what jumps out at you. How might you use this? Because as I said at the end of the last track, the more specific you can get to how you're prioritizing your time, how you're honing in on what matters to you, the better you're setting yourself up for the next track, where we go deeper into the ultimate day system. And then the tracks after that, where we're exploring the system for unleashing your time and some of the tools around it. So I hope you got a lot of value out of this track. and I look forward to catching up with you on the next one.